Welcome to Garden Talk with your local growing experts from Booklift Gardens, where we help you grow.
Well, good morning, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Booklift Gardens,
where we help you grow.
What an absolutely glorious morning it is.
So pretty.
So pretty outside. A little bit chilly, though.
Yeah, it's surprising. You walk out and you're like, ooh.
Ooh, might need to go get that sweatshirt.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's what we love about Colorado.
Totally is. Mostly sunny today. We're looking for a high of around 78, 79 degrees. Tonight, we're expecting lows in the mid-50s, but it is going to be windy starting this afternoon. Sunday is going to be cooler with highs in the mid-70s, but it is going to be windy. We're expecting it to be pretty gusty out there.
I saw that. High wind warning.
Yeah, pretty gusty. Yeah. We do have a chance of showers starting tomorrow afternoon. Cloudy and cooler with highs in the 60s a lot of next week. A decent chance of rain. So, you know, on and off pretty much all next week. Kind of cloudy, kind of, you know.
Springish.
Springish is springing.
Spring is sprung.
Indeed. So far this year, we have 2.5 inches of rain. That's about an inch behind where we're supposed to be. But the final reports on snowpack for the year say that we can expect an average runoff. So, yeah,
that's what's important.
Yeah. And the other thing that's kind of heartening with this cooler weather right now is it's going to slow down the snowpack as far as it melting and coming off out of the high country.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a good thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I looked up at the Mesa last night and I still don't really see. I don't know where the broken neck of the swan is that they talk about.
Oh,
in the
gosh.
Valley.
We'll have to. I'll have to take you out on the
and show me.
Yeah, up by right by the mailbox at the nursery.
Okay.
Yeah. I can show you.
You can
the swan.
Show me. Mm-hmm. But I looked up there and I said, I can only imagine that it is broken because there's not much snow.
Yeah, there isn't very much snow left on the face of Grand Mesa.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
okay, I'm going to get a lesson.
Yeah, we're getting close. We're talking about gardening this morning. If you have a question, something on your mind, please call us. We'd love to talk to you, find out what's going on in your garden, hear about your successes so far. Tell us what's going on. Our number is 245-1100. 245-1100. So, Steph, you were telling me you haven't had much of a chance to get out there.
Mona always asks me, so what's going on in your garden? We like to talk about that on the radio show. And I said to her this morning, I'm not sure. Because I can tell you what's going on at Booklift Gardens.
Well, so tell me what's going on at Booklift Gardens.
We've been really busy, haven't we? Good busy.
Stop,
good steady.
Stop, drop, and roll, man.
Stop, drop, and roll. So this is the time of year where we don't really look at our gardens a whole lot. We're just, we're looking at the beautiful gardens. I was telling a customer that said to me yesterday, oh my goodness, the flowers are the most beautiful I've ever seen. And I was like, we say that every year, but I swear the greenhouses are just...
They're really extraordinary.
Bursting, and things are starting to go to their forever homes.
Go into their forever
is
homes.
Is what we like to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everybody's out and about, and I think ready to plant.
Ready to plant.
Yes. Yeah.
Ready to plant. I think, you know, with the exception of the wind about to beat the daylights out of some things, I think we are green lighting it as far as being ready to put things out there.
Yeah.
The thing with getting your bedding plants and your vegetable gardens started, it's important to remember that you do need to harden off your plants. When you take them home from a greenhouse, whether it's Booklift or wherever you're getting them, those plants will really not be very happy if you take them from a greenhouse.
Which is ideal growing conditions
wind. Right. If you take them out of this basically an incubator and take them out and put them in the wind or in the bright direct sun, those little babies are not going to be very pleased with being treated that way.
Right.
They need to be hardened off.
So how long do you do you suggest? A couple of days?
A couple of days at least. Mm-hmm. And hardening them off is just a means of toughening them up, mm-hmm. getting them used to how dry the air conditions are, mm-hmm. Getting them used to the breeze, mm-hmm. getting them used to what real sunlight is. Mm-hmm. So put them out on the patio,
right.
Maybe offer them a little bit of true morning sunlight, mm-hmm. for a couple hours, mm-hmm. then pull them back onto the patio, but mm-hmm. still in a place where it's a little bit breezy, so that those little stems have a chance to kind of learn.
Toughen up.
Yeah, toughen up.
Yeah.
Get them a little bit acclimated.
Yeah.
The thing about being in a greenhouse is, even in a greenhouse, it's bright in there. I mean, mm-hmm. we almost need a hat on,
right.
Because it's so bright. But that roof in the greenhouse, even that is filtered light.
Right.
It's not the
that direct
full, hot, direct, mm-hmm. bright sunlight. And that kind of sunlight will burn those leaves,
right.
just quick. It'll give them a sunburn.
Right.
So it's important that those little leaves have the opportunity to figure out and be able to readjust a little bit, mm-hmm. so that they don't suffer any kind of a burn.
Right.
That's not to say that the leaves will not recover, because they will, in fact, push out some fresh new growth, mm-hmm. and they will be just fine. But mm-hmm. it's kind of disheartening to get your little plants out there, and then 3 days later, look at them, and they've got these,
mm-hmm.
they've got burns and marks on
sad.
Them. And you think, oh, my goodness, what happened
right.
here?
So
it's important to make mm-hmm. sure that you do harden your plants off before you actually plant them in the garden.
And when you do that, keep a close eye on the soil, too, because they're in those small cells,
and
they dry out
they
quickly.
They do, especially if there's any kind of a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Those tiny little cells, a lot of times there's not much more than maybe 3 tablespoons of soil in the little 2 1/4 inch
right.
containers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to make sure that that doesn't dry out, because
right.
that tiny little root system,
right.
it's going to say, oh, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't
want them to dry out.
You don't. They're teensy babies.
Yes. And so, watering is such a huge thing for us at the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent watering.
Consistent water. And in the greenhouse, it's a big job in the greenhouse, and
mm-hmm.
there's no wind.
Right. Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Well, you're throwing all those new conditions at those babies.
Yeah.
So.
Good advice. Got to keep them.
Yeah.
A little bit. You teach them in stages. You
right.
can't just throw them out in the big wide world.
Right.
They don't appreciate it very
yes.
much.
They're infants.
Infants. Hey, that batch of roses that came in.
Oh my goodness!
How about those roses?
They're so gorgeous, and it smells so good. The scent.
What a symphony for the senses.
I know. I think the Art Center had an event. Was it last night?
Yes.
And they had asked us a few weeks ago if they could borrow something pretty to, you know. And so, man, they chose the roses.
They did.
That was like instant beauty. that pickup load they had. I was like, oh.
Well, and it was kind of funny, because they came to gather up some pretty things.
Mm-hmm.
They only took, I think, a dozen,
mm-hmm.
because that's all they could fit.
I know, because some of the blooms on those, they're huge.
It was a
whole back load.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was only 12 plants.
That's amazing.
With just huge flowers on them.
They are.
Absolutely lovely.
Yeah. The
lovely,
colors,
lovely.
And that was the smoothest. I still am not sure how. Well, Tyler and Steph had that all lined up, I think, because they come in these big, tall pallets, and we have to take them off. And somehow they organized it to where we had those out. I say we, it was a small army, but It was went fast.
I think what
by like 10:30, 11?
Yeah, I think what Tyler did is he was able to figure out, well, the shipment of roses comes in. They are on these big racks. The plants
racks,
are on big racks.
That's what I was trying to
okay?
say. Okay. Yeah.
And he was able to figure out what plants were on each rack.
Mm-hmm.
So as the plants were being unloaded, he was able to put those racks relatively close to where they were going to be lined out,
right?
So that when they were pulled off the racks, mm-hmm. they only had a few footsteps to go to be put in the correct place.
Right.
Magic.
It was magic. Yeah.
Absolute magic.
Yeah.
So.
Because I think I got there by 8:30 and they already had a lot of it.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
Yes.
Gotta love it.
And the names of the roses, oh, they crack me up,
I know.
Some of them.
Smoking hot.
Someone at Bookcliff Gardens has that nickname.
Someone's,
due to the roses.
Yeah, due to the roses. You know, if you're going to shout out, I'm right here, you need to make sure that the name that you've chosen is something that's mm-hmm. going to stick to you pretty good.
It does. Yep.
Hey, we've got a caller on line one. Good morning, line one. How can we help?
Good morning, line two and line three.
Good morning,
one,
Debbie.
One, two, three, four.
How can we help you?
Okay, well, when I worked there, you guys just brought me up a memory. Because that was back when Judy was
yep.
there.
Yep.
And the rose truck came. And Mona, you and what was the other woman's name? The tall, blonde, Joni or... Judy? No, not Judy. Anyway, you guys told me, okay, they're going to unload the roses, and they have numbers on them, and I want you to put them all in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they'll bring them over, and we'll put them under the shade thing. And I'm like, okay. So I'm doing that. And this was my temporary summer year there.
Yeah.
And so they started unloading the roses, and they didn't come in order.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, and so they sort of spread them out over there, and then I put them on that little thing that brings them over to where you guys were
right,
under the shade.
Right, put them on a pallet.
And they weren't coming in order, and...
Yeah, it used to be a 2-day process.
Oh my goodness.
Well, but we did it in 1 day, and I have to say I got my feelings hurt because Mona, you and the other lady told Judy she's not sending all this stuff in order and she's not doing the way it should be. And so Judy came marching out over to where I was with the truck, and she saw that they were all laid out, but there were missing numbers of roses. And Judy came out and goes, she's doing a wonderful job.
Well, hopefully that sticks in your memory that you were listened to and corrected.
There you go.
Finally.
There was a correction.
Anyway, and so after Judy said that, then Mona, what was her name? Karen, the tall.
I don't know. Yeah.
So you guys left spaces. You would put some of them,
oh,
the
yeah.
beautiful.
It's like putting together a puzzle.
It is. It's a huge production.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to have to move move 50 roses because you've got a space for one more variety. So, yeah, it's a big process.
So you understand.
Indeed.
I do. And I want you guys to know that I did a wonderful job.
Of course.
Okay, then.
We believe it.
Okay,
we
then.
We believe. Thanks for
and
setting
you
it all straight.
And you guys do a wonderful job, too, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Debbie.
Hey, bye.
Thanks for not hurting our feelings. All right. We're up against our first commercial break. If you've got a question, something on your mind, please call us. Our number is 245-1100, 245-1100. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer. This is Garden Talk. We'll be right back.
Everyone looks forward to spring break, but if the spring that breaks is on your garage door, nobody wants that. Your door won't work right, and it could be dangerous. Overhead Door Company of Grand Junction can replace a broken spring or help you upgrade to a beautiful new energy-efficient door. The original Overhead Door Company of Grand Junction, serving Western Colorado for over 50 years. 2944 I-70 Business Loop, Unit 303. Call 970-245-5000 or go to ohdgrjct.com. Overhead Door. The never-ending contest keeps rolling, and you could be our next big winner. This month, from Zach of Diamonds Jewelry Company, you could win 14-karat gold hoop earrings with 1.1-karat natural diamonds, a matching gold and diamond pendant, and a Christian Genève Swiss Movement watch with 0.56-karat natural diamonds and three extra leather bands, a total value of $5,200 from Zach of Diamonds Jewelry Company. When you win any contest on our station, you'll be qualified for this month's grand prize. Keep listening for your chance to win in the never-ending contest.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Hello, this is Guy Walker from the Crime Stoppers of Mesa County, and we need your help to identify the suspect involved in a theft. Sometime between 2 and 8 p.m. on Monday, April 15th, the victim's gray Infiniti mountain bike was stolen outside the city market located at 2600 North 12th Street. The property loss is over $300. Surveillance cameras captured a black male last seen wearing a gray North Face jacket with red pants, a black beanie, and red and black shoes. A photo of the suspect can be viewed at 241stop.com or the Crime Stoppers of Mesa County Facebook page. If you know the location or the identity of the suspect involved in this crime, please submit a tip by downloading the P3 Tips app on any mobile device, online at 241stop.com, or by calling 970-241-7867. Information reported to Crime Stoppers that leads to an arrest can earn you up to a $1,000 cash reward, and you will remain completely anonymous. For more information, see us at 241stop.com.
Living in Western Colorado allows me to do one of my favorite things, mountain biking. Whether it's out at Lunch Loops or Cocopelli, I'm always on the lookout for the best single track to ride. In the past, those with disabilities were unable to experience the great outdoors. Colorado Discover Ability is changing that by providing adaptive recreation equipment and instilling confidence in others. People of all abilities can experience the outdoors like everyone else. Learn more at cdagj.org.
NBC Grand Radio shares this message to support our community.
One in four people have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also an actor and advocate for disability inclusion across all aspects of life. The disability community is passionate, strong, powerful. We have so much to offer and deserve to be included in society. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals is delivering services, advocacy, and local supports that elevates the communities for everyone. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. EasterSeals.com.
News Radio 1100 KNZZ, Grand Junction. Radio you can depend on. Glenn Beck.
Nobody's laughing at preppers anymore. In fact, it's now gone mainstream. Even the media is starting to notice.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Radio 1100 KNZZ.
Welcome back to Garden Talk with your hosts from Booklift Gardens.
Welcome back, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer, and this is Garden Talk. We're talking about gardening this morning. If you've got a question, something on your mind, please call us. We'd love to hear what's going on at your house. Our number is 245-1100, 245-1100. Well, we've had some interesting samples come through at the garden center this week. We've seen some leaves on different plants that actually showed some signs of some nipping of frost. And yeah, and it seems that the damage has been maybe over the course of oh, maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks.
And we haven't had a frost.
Well, not anything that was measurable necessarily at the airport.
Uh-huh.
But we know that there are some spots, different places in the valley where, little mm-hmm. dips in the terrain where the cold air just kind of sinks and settles. And for some plants, depending on what the phase is in leaf development, sometimes things can get a little bit of a nip right as the leaves are starting to emerge. And so they'll get kind of a little bit of a curl,
uh-huh.
a little bit of a, almost the leaves will look almost like they've been run through a ruffler on a sewing machine.
Right.
That mid-rib kind uh-huh. of gets a little bit of a crinkle to it.
Uh-huh.
The signature of that is different than if it's been hit by herbicide damage. Herbicide damage makes the leaves look leathery, and the leaves will typically kind of cup mm-hmm. and be kind of more dense, whereas frost damage, the cupping has a tendency to cup downward, and the mid-rib is a little bit crinkled, and it looks ruffled.
Wow.
So it's been, I saw one on a, what was it? It was a viburnum that had some damage on some of the older leaves. The new leaves are looking just fine. I saw some damage on a little cherry tree.
Mm-hmm.
It looked as if the very tippy top of it recently had been damaged by some frost, but the fresh growth that has pushed maybe in the last couple weeks, it looked fine.
So you look at the fresh growth.
You look at the comparison.
Yeah, between.
Look at the uh-huh. comparison.
Yeah.
If anyone has questions about something that, something just isn't looking right, bring samples in. Pictures are great, mm-hmm. but samples will also help determine what's actually going
right.
on. The Extension Service can help you.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to take a look at samples as well at mm-hmm. Book Cliff. Sometimes we're right this time of year, our hair's on fire,
uh-huh.
so it may take us a few minutes to get to you, but mm-hmm. if we're just slammed at the counter, bring your samples in a little Ziploc bag with your name and telephone number on
mm-hmm.
it. Just drop it off at the counter, and we're happy to take a look at it when we get just a moment, and we'll call you back
sure.
and help you figure out
yeah.
what's going on.
Yeah, because it's one of the things we love to do.
Yeah, we really
yeah.
enjoy taking a peek at samples.
It's science.
Yeah, I have also seen some interesting samples of wind tatter.
Mm-hmm.
With the high winds that we've had, and not all neighborhoods are getting the same intensity
right.
of wind.
Right.
So it's kind of CSI.
Yeah.
It is CSI
investigation
as far as figuring out sometimes what's happening in different
yeah.
areas.
Oh yeah.
It's just interesting. I did see a lady brought in a photograph of a young ash tree in her yard, and oh gosh, I'm very concerned about this little ash tree. The trunk on it, I want to say the trunk is maybe a 4-inch caliper trunk. It's not an old tree. It's an established tree, but not an old tree.
Mm-hmm.
This little tree is in some serious trouble. In the photograph that she brought, I counted no fewer than 12 exits of lilac ash borer coming out of that little tree. I could see the little sheaths where the borer was exiting. Just, man, this poor little tree is having a hard time.
Ravaged.
Absolutely ravaged. So we talked, I think, last week and maybe even the week before about being able to get some permethrin 38 on the trunk of your ash trees the latter part of April and then again 30 days after that to protect against lilac ash borer on ash trees and also on lilacs, because the same insect will attack both of those
mm-hmm.
kinds of plants. Lilac ash borer will lay eggs on the trunk. When the egg hatches, it tunnels into the bark and then rummages around in the bark, and it cuts off the pipeline, if you will, between the roots and the canopy of the plant, mm-hmm. and it kills off the canopy mm-hmm. by cutting that pipeline.
Yeah.
So getting permethrin 38 on the trunk of the tree or on the stems of the lilac bush helps to keep that lilac ash borer from being able to settle its babies into that cambium layer and keep that plant a little bit safer.
Yeah.
Lilac ash borer is very much an opportunistic insect. It will attack plants that are weakened by some other aspect, whether it's too much water, not enough water, winter drought, all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
If the plant is weakened by something else, it's more susceptible to being attacked by an insect
pest.
Just like
humans.
Just
if
like
we, mm-hmm. if our immunity's down, we catch everything.
Yeah, we do. And
yeah.
it's just.
And they're beautiful trees.
They are lovely.
And it's a preventative thing. If you drive through, I remember early on when Rick and I started at Book Cliff, Dennis took turns driving different employees around,
right.
just up, I mean, not very far. You don't have to go very far, just up the street.
Mm-hmm.
I think we went up Patterson, and you can just pick out the
yep.
ash trees because they'll be dead in the center.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see all these bare branches.
Right.
And then the outside will still be leaked
right.
out. And so I'm like, when I'm driving, I'll be like, oh, look at that, look at that, look at
right.
that.
And it's easy to tell the ones that have been attacked by
mm-hmm.
these different insect pests.
Yeah, and these are large trees.
Yes.
Too.
So,
yeah.
You know, do what you can. Mm-hmm. Save the shade. It's well worth it.
My
big ash tree, this is the first year in several years
mm-hmm.
that we haven't lost the leaves to a late spring frost.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful. It's looking
so pretty this year.
Mm-hmm.
The last several years, it seems to me about the 18th, 19th of April, we've had frosts that have dinged the leaves just as those baby leaves have been emerging.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, oh gosh, it just broke my heart. The leaves had just popped out,
oh, man.
And we had a cold snap. 2 days later, I'm walking across the yard, and it was as if ashes were falling down out of the sky.
All at once.
All of my baby leaves froze to a crisp, and they were just raining
falling.
Down upon my head.
Oh,
it just broke my heart.
Dang.
So it took a while for that tree to leaf back out again.
Mm-hmm.
It did leaf back out,
mm-hmm.
but I can't help but think that having to expend the energy to grow another set of leaves a little at a time, over time it can weaken that
mm-hmm.
plant.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been pretty diligent about making sure that I get treatment on the trunk of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great big tree. This tree is easily 60 years old.
Right.
And so I just, man, I would be so bummed out if something happened to that tree.
We get attached.
Very attached to that tree.
Yes, we do.
Man.
So customers have been complaining about aphids. I guess they're really bad this year.
They have been a challenge this
mm-hmm.
year.
Early on.
Yeah, and that happens. You know, because we did have kind of a mildish spring, the aphids got out there and started in on
mm-hmm.
all the lovely little green shoots that have emerged. And truthfully, there is an aphid for just about every kind of plant that is under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can worry about them if you choose. The aphids aren't going to kill anything. They're going to make some plants look kind of shabby.
Yeah.
You know, there are curl leaf aphids that will attach to cherry trees or to peach leaves. There are curl leaf aphids that will get on even in ash leaves. But for the most part, aphids really don't cause a plant to die. They
mm-hmm.
just make them look kind of ratty.
Right. And the ladybugs love them.
Oh, the ladybugs have been, the ladybugs are just crazy right now
yeah.
Because there is a ready supply of food.
Mm-hmm.
Ladybugs, I personally don't have aphids. Mm-hmm. Although I had something happen here recently, I might have the ladybugs misinterpreted what was me. I was wandering across the yard and noticed a ladybug on my sleeve. So I thought, well, hello. And I went to drop said ladybug off in a lilac bush. And as I was dropping ladybug off, noticed that I had three more on my shirt and another one in my hair. Uh-huh. So I don't think I have aphids personally, but there are aphids somewhere in the yard. Otherwise, yeah, there wouldn't be that many ladybugs.
Yeah.
Either that or I... What is a group of ladybugs called? Was it a cloud of ladybugs?
We'll have to Google it. A cloud.
A gaggle of ladybugs? I don't know, but the
Ladybug Society?
The Ladybug Society? They needed a ride somewhere.
Yeah, and you gave it to them.
I was the bus.
And I always feel, aren't they a sign of luck?
I don't know.
I think so.
Hey, I was lucky I didn't choke on a cloud of them, I guess.
I know.
But
They're so cute.
The aphids, I mean, if you really can't stand them, just hose them off with some water.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work. We've got a caller on line one. Good morning, line one. How can we help?
How about a bundle of ladybugs?
A bundle?
Oh, that works.
Yeah, but how do you tie them up?
You can't. They have wings.
Oh, okay, I guess.
A bundle.
Okay, way back when I bought my praying mantis from Book Cliffs, and I also bought a bundle of ladybugs. Oh, let's call them a bundle. Is that what?
Yeah, that works
a bundle
for us.
Of ladybugs.
Yeah.
Both of them. And when I got the ladybugs, I opened up the container that they were in. And because I had aphids on my rose bushes, the ladybugs kept trying to go down to the ground, and I kept picking them up and putting them on. Look, here's aphids. And I did it again and again, and they moved away because... Mona, you got it. When you open up that ladybug bundle, you put them on the ground.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Yes, and they were trying to get away because you were bugging them.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm a ladybug.
That's
okay,
right. That's a girlfriend. Good segue to All the right. commercial. All right. Thanks for calling, Debbie.
Uh huh.
Take
Bye.
Care. All righty, we are up against our final commercial break. If you've got a question, something on your mind, give us a call. Our number is 245-1100, 245-1100, along with Steph Griggs. I'm Mona Dyer. This is Garden Talk. We'll be right back.
They say Colorado has 300 days of sunshine every year, but sometimes all you need is a little shade. Hi, I'm Patty with Ambassador Blind and Shutter. Create your perfect outdoor space with patio sunshades. Fighting the intense Western Colorado heat does not have to be a challenge. Sunshades are highly versatile and can be fit into virtually any outdoor area. Find your perfect shade at Ambassador Blind and Shutter at 1048 Independent Avenue next to Sam's Club. Visit ambassadorblindandshutter.com.
I'm Real Estate Rob, and I approve the following message.
Election years keep getting crazier, and so does our local real estate market. You need an experienced team on your side during your real estate transaction. You need the Real Estate Rob team at Ronan Real Estate. Whether you're buying or selling, they'll be with you all the way from start to finish. You may not be able to control the elections, but you can control your results in real estate. Hire the Real Estate Rob team at Ronan Real Estate today. Find them on Facebook at the Real Estate Rob Team.
Motor City Transmissions not only offers competitive transmission service, they provide a wide range of services combining modern tech and hands-on experience to keep you on the road. Motor City Transmissions and Auto Repair. Call 970-242-8726.
1100 KNZZ. Dependable weather.
High wind watch Sunday. Grand Junction 77. Moab 78. Showers and windy Sunday night, 41. Partly sunny Monday, 63.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again, then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Diplomatic efforts are intensifying in Cairo this weekend. That's where international mediators are working to hopefully establish an agreement between Israel and Hamas to end the war in Gaza. Israel, however, is unlikely to agree to any permanent ceasefire unless Hamas is destroyed or returns all of the hostages. The Houston area was under threat of worsening flood conditions today, one day after heavy storms slammed the region, and authorities warned those in low-lying areas to evacuate ahead of an expected catastrophic surge of water. A flood watch remained in effect through tomorrow afternoon. Forecasters predicting additional rainfall as of tonight. That would bring another 1 to 3 inches of water to that soaked region and the likelihood of major flooding, with the rainwaters now having nowhere else to go. This is SRN News.
News is always happening, and we'll keep you informed and up to date.
It's important to stay informed these days more than ever.
News Radio 1100 KNZZ.
Welcome back to Garden Talk with your hosts from Booklift Gardens, since 1968, where we help you grow.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer, and this is Garden Talk. We're talking about gardening this morning. If you've got a question, something on your mind, please call us. Our number is 245-1100, 245-1100. We've got about, 13 minutes or so to go.
So before I forget, you know our friend Jack that calls in every once in a while?
Yes.
I don't think, if I'm repeating this from last week, forgive me. Okay, I'll save that thought. I think there's a caller.
All righty. Good morning, line one. How can we help?
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that a group of ladybugs is called a loveliness of ladybugs.
Oh,
that's awesome. Awesome. Thank you. A loveliness of ladybugs.
I love that.
Yes. All right. Take care.
The
Have
best.
A great day.
Thanks
for letting us know.
A loveliness.
Yes.
That's perfect.
It is. I think I might have said this last week.
Tell me.
But, you know, I'm aging, so I forget what I say, when I say it, whatever. So our friend Jack that calls in, he wanted to ask another question a couple of weeks ago, but he felt like he was out of time.
Okay.
And he wanted to know if we sold wind chimes.
Yeah.
And we do. We sell beautiful wind
chimes.
We do. I think we did talk about this.
I think we did, but do it again.
Because it's so funny.
It is.
It is kind of funny. So
we sell Corinthian bells.
Corinthian bells. Mm-hmm. They're so beautiful. But anyway, he wanted you all to know that you should come in if you would like some wind chimes, because they're a sound investment.
Oh, jeez.
But I'm pumped. We did tell that last week. Yeah. But Jack, if you're listening, have a great day.
Oh, Jack.
Yes.
Bless your heart.
So a loveliness.
A loveliness.
Ladybugs. That is so great.
It is great.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I do too.
Flower pots and containers need attention, and we've got a caller on line one.
We do have a caller,
yes. Good morning, line one. How can we help?
Oh, well, ladybug of loveliness.
Yes.
Have you guys ever seen, I talked about a praying mantis bundle of eggs that they leave. Have you ever seen a ladybug bundle? Because I have.
I don't think I have.
Are you talking about the cluster of eggs?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever, Mona?
Yes.
Have you seen them?
Mm-hmm.
She's probably seen them under a microscope.
I've seen them under a microscope. I've seen the little bitties when they hatch. It's awesome. And so when someone purchases a packet, they come in a little plastic cup now instead of a net of bugs.
Bundle.
Bundle.
Right. So they come in a cup now. The trick with releasing a little cup of ladybugs is it's important to let them go at dusk, because if you open up that cup in daylight, they will simply fly away. They have been cooped up in that cup, and they're hungry and they're thirsty. So it's important to let them go in the evening at dusk. It's also important to, before you open that cup, shake the plant. Let's say, for example, a rose bush. You put some water on the ground, shake the plant to get some aphids onto the ground, and then open the container on the ground so that the ladybugs...
Oh, my God! That is amazing. Go on.
So that the ladybugs get the idea that there is a drink of water and there is food in that spot. They won't fly away in the dark. They will get something to drink. They will have something to eat. And come daylight, when the sun comes up, the ladybugs will climb up into that rose bush because they have imprinted on a place where they can continue to feed.
It's a habitat.
They pattern on a habitat.
Yes, and aphids are water and food, I guess, for a ladybug.
They're juicy. They're like eating grapes.
Juicy.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen a little patch where ladybug eggs. Oh my God! I don't even know if I can describe them. I was in L.A. and they were out in sort of a shady planter. And it's kind of like, okay, let me see, like 3/4 of an inch tall and 1/2 inch wide, planted in shade and dirt. And they were all these like little long cylinders, like all sticking up and
like
clustered.
Little footballs, like little footballs.
What do you call them? Spitballs?
No, footballs. They look like little footballs.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where they come from in the wild, and I have never seen that before because they're sort of more private.
Yeah.
Tinier.
They hide them.
Yes. Okay, bye.
All righty.
And it says it gives really great instructions on those containers now, too.
And so when you purchase a container of the ladybugs, we recommend that you take it home quickly, put it in the refrigerator to keep them cool. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'll wear themselves out running around in that container. Mm-hmm. You want them to be calm. Mm-hmm. You want to keep them cool. Just stick them in the fridge. If your mother-in-law is coming over, you might want to keep her out of the fridge. if she's a little squeamish, it's maybe not the best thing for her to find bugs in your fridge. And then, at dusk, you can sneak outside and put the ladybugs, turn the ladybugs loose in the garden. Mm-hmm. That's the way that works.
It is.
So
okay,
the flower pots and containers need attention, especially right after you get them planted. Okay, make sure that those little root systems don't dry out right after you plant them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're planting them, please make sure that as you're planting, just before you plant, make sure that you give that potting soil a drink of water before you actually plant. The potting soil needs to be damp before you set your little root balls in the soil.
Right. Otherwise, the dirt will suck all the moisture away from the root ball.
Either that or that potting soil, a lot of times, is hydrophobic.
It pushes
the water away. And so you don't get good lateral motion of the water.
Yeah.
And so your little root systems don't push into the potting soil because that potting soil stays dry.
Right, right. And the other thing I learned like right away is when you're adding dirt to your, if it's a container, you don't want to put the dirt all the way to the top. You need to leave, is it a couple of inches?
Yeah, you need a little bit of space at the top so that you can give that pot a really good soak and let it percolate in. If you fill it clear to the top, there's no space.
And it's just going to, it'll flow over the top. And then it's messy too because the dirt. I mean, we've all experienced
everybody
that.
Loves a good muddy mess.
Yes. And when you water, you give it a good drink of water.
Water like you mean it.
Water like you mean it. That's what Mona says. Let it drain thoroughly. Don't let it sit in water.
Right.
And then let it dry out in between waterings. Mm-hmm.
Tell folks about the baskets.
Oh, they're gorgeous. They're just the color combinations of the baskets. And then just in a week, I swear, we can almost watch them grow daily. They've really filled out and they're starting to trail, and the black-eyed Susan is wrapping its way around the wires. We even like just a little secret. We try to trim some of those because if a customer buys a basket and it's all wrapped around our wire, we've had to like untangle it because they want to take every single bit of that. They don't understand that we can just cut the black-eyed Susan and then that'll just make it grow more and faster
it
and
grows,
fuller.
It grows in retaliation.
But yeah, they're just, it's a jungle in there.
It is a jungle
like
in
I
there.
Like I said last week, when I'm looking for our employees, I'm looking for their shoes now.
Right, right, because you can't.
Because I can't see them.
Right. We also this year have a care sheet. That we're handing to people as they're going out with their baskets, because some of these plants, it's not that they're hard to take care of, but there are some pro tips, that can really help you make sure that these baskets keep looking really nice all season long.
All season long, and we're actually teaching Melissa and Irma are teaching a class on the 18th.
Yes.
About container care and how, I mean, there's a little bit of pruning depending on what kind of flowers in your basket.
Right.
But a little bit of upkeep, you can have those baskets looking beautiful.
Yep. Everything from
season.
Everything from proper watering to a little bit of pruning, proper deadheading. Mm-hmm. There was a lovely gentleman in yesterday. Actually he was from the Montrose area, and he came in and was looking for a particular color of petunia. And so we're wandering around looking for petunias, and he said, you know, I love them, but they start to look a little sad. And so he was asking about fertilizer and such, and I asked him, all right, well, do they start looking sad about middle of July? And he gave me the affirmation. Yeah, it's in July. So we wandered through, and I found a petunia basket where I could show him proper deadheading. His eyes got as big as saucers. He says, that's why they're doing that. Mm-hmm. And so he found another one, and he showed me that he had learned what the proper way was. He says, oh, they're going to be amazing.
It's so fun when you see the light bulb
His light bulb came on.
Yeah.
He absolutely got what I was trying to show
him. Because petunias, a lot of times people just think you have to pull the dead flower.
The dead flower.
And you have to pinch it back.
You have
to. There's like a V.
Yep. You have to go clear back to where the main stem is.
Right.
Just taking off the spent petal is not going to do it.
Right. And if you go on vacation and you come back and your petunia hanging basket's like way crazy overgrown, a haircut.
Give it a haircut.
And in a week, the difference between a good and a bad haircut is 2 weeks.
Yep, exactly. There's our traveling
All
music.
Right.
Thanks,
come
everyone.
See us.
We would love to see you. We're easy to find. 755 26th Road, a mile and a half north of First and Patterson. Come see us.
Have a great weekend.
Take
Happy
care.
Spring. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.